Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And we've got a great second helping for you this week. We are, of course, going to talk about Last Chance Kitchen. But first, we want to make sure that you stick around after that for our interview with the executive producer of Top Chef, Doneen Arquines, who is she has been part of Top Chef. She's the executive producer at Magical Elves, which is the production company. I think she also has the title of VP of current programming. We'll talk to her. It's a fabulous interview. You do not want to miss it. Getting back to our roots in the behind the scenes crew.
Love a so, BTS.
Yeah. But without further ado, Bits, let's dive in to Last Chance Kitchen.
Ooh, it's a neighborhood cookout. Cook off.
Yes. They live on the same block.
That's crazy.
Super crazy. So we've got Cat v. Cat. Cat versus Katiana.
And Cat, you better sleep with one eye open. I mean, Katiana. That's
these
crazy.
Cats
I wonder if they get each other's
nine
mail.
Lives. We're just talking right over each other, but we're doing good work.
Nancy.
Some of our best work. Fuck.
Should we restart? I don't know. Or just start
maybe.
Over?
Maybe, yeah.
Well, now the timing seems okay. No.
Okay, let's just – we'll start over again, but maybe I'll use the first one. Maybe it was the second one. Who knows?
Okay.
Okay. Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And we have a jam-packed, once again, jam-packed second helping episode for you. We've just been on a roll. We've been churning out these interviews like it's no one's business. And
like we're Barbara Walters.
Like we are. Barbara Walters. Yes, we have an interview right after we discuss Last Chance Kitchen. You will hear from the VP of current programming and executive producer of Magical Elves, which is the production company for Top Chef. So her name is Doneen Arquines. She has been with Magical Elves and Top Chef for over a decade. You are not going to want to miss this episode, getting back to our roots of interviewing the BTS crew. And it's a really fun one. So you don't want to miss that. But, Bits, without further ado, Last Chance Kitchen.
Yeah. Another crazy one. I knew this would be wild, right? Because they're both extremely strong chefs. We also learned that they are across the street neighbors.
Crazy.
Do you think they get each other's mail?
I bet. I mean, they have very similar names.
Right. Some may say the same name.
Some may say the same name. I think that we should call this episode of Last Chance Kitchen Catfight Meow.
Meow. Yeah, I wish we gave names to these. Do we?
We do not. We keep it simple with second helping.
Shoot.
But if we did, you know what we can for this episode? It's Cat Fight on Compliments to the Chef, a special one-off edition episode for Cat v. Cat in Last Chance Kitchen, Cat versus Katiana. Bits, talk to us about the challenge.
Cool challenge. Pretty straightforward, again. I do like when they put keep it interesting. Both of them had to pick pickled items on behalf of the other. So Kat got to pick first and they sort of like round robin picked their way through a bunch of different pickled things. So Katiana picks pickled. She's going to get old quick. Katiana picks pickled asparagus for Kat. Kat picked pickled like cocktail pearl onions. For Katiana, I won't run through the whole list, but they were like just friendly and mischievous enough, I would say, in their selection. Yep. And on the whole, I don't think it really handicapped either of them or their performance.
No.
What were your thoughts going into the meal, the meal prep, the meal planning?
I think not that, much planning. I mean, I thought that it was really interesting when Kat was talking about how pickled beets are a challenge not only because of their flavor, but also because of their color. That is something that we all know to be true. I'm sure we've all had a surprise after eating beets in the toilette. And so it's really interesting that that could throw like such a curveball in the dish that someone would create with them. So I thought that was interesting, but I think Kat handled it super well. by making, she essentially like compressed the beets with salmon and then cooked the salmon, which was super clever. And really, really cool to see. And then on Kat's side, she made, she fried up the pickled asparagus that Katiana gave her. And then she made sort of like a succotash with the other pickles. And she wanted to put shrimp on there, but she overcooked the shrimp. And so, Bits, this gets us to the tale as old as time in Top Chef. If the protein isn't cooked right, don't put it on the plate.
Yeah.
What did you think of how she handled it?
Well, she tried to cut it up. I mean, the tough part was, I think the tempura itself, the batter, was like a standout part of the dish. It sucks that it was like on the shrimp. I'm going to be honest. I don't like shrimp tempura. I don't really care for shrimp, if I'm being honest. If it's not shrimp cocktail.
Oh, look who's laughing now. I know, you gave me so much shit for not liking shrimp.
I got one thing.
And I'm never going to let you forget it.
I don't. I like it in a pasta. Maybe I just don't like it breaded. I don't like shrimp tempura. I don't like tempura, if I'm being honest.
I like tempura. I'm not mad about it. It's just fried.
Just fried, just doing his thing.
I just doing his thing.
But Tom really liked both of these dishes. Clearly, like, it was a pretty neck and neck thing. The shrimp being overcooked and rubbery is what kind of did Kat in. But people be cooking real good this season. Mm-hmm. It's just like it feels like it's constantly just by a hair. So it was a good, I'm sad to see Kat go. Glad we got to talk to her on the other side of it. No, she's okay. but yeah, we're wishing Katiana good luck in her journey.
Yes, this is not the last that we will see of her. So looking forward to see what she does. And in the meantime, enjoy this interview with Doneen, and we will be launching a special bonus episode, another episode interview with Corwin from this season, as you know him. Ever heard of him? But yeah, so that's going to come out in a few days, and look out for it because he's an awesome guy, and you don't want to miss that interview either. So without further ado, let's get to talking to Doneen. Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And today we have one of the coolest guests we've ever had. We are so excited to talk with her, but a little bit about her before we begin. So we have with us on the pod 15-time Emmy nominee, executive producer of NBC's upcoming show, Yes Chef, the VP of current programming at Magical Elves, and the, for us, most important thing, executive producer and showrunner of Top Chef, Doneen Arquines. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, we are so excited to learn about your experience with Top Chef. You've been with Top Chef a really long time. So I'm going to kick it to Bits to ask you a few questions about your time on the show.
Yeah. I mean, we know you've been with the show. You started as a production assistant season one. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. So you've seen all seasons of Top Chef. Can you take us back to the beginning? How did that all come about? Talk a little bit about those like early years on Top Chef.
I actually moved to LA like in September of 2005, and we started shooting Top Chef in October of 2005.
Oh my God.
I moved down to LA. I was staying with like second cousin in their spare room, and applying to jobs everywhere. And my summer job when I was in college and I had just graduated, my summer job was working at Joanne Fabrics and Crafts, RIP. Even when I came down here, I was like, oh, well, let me just apply to Joanne's just, you know, at least to have something until I find something, right? Because I'm just like looking online, trying to find jobs and reaching out to people. There were some alumni from my college down here who I had reached out to and, you know, sent my sad little resume. I think I worked in this thing, you know? And but it worked out because actually one of them, a couple weeks after I got down here, was friends with an AP, an associate producer on the first season of Top Chef. And they were looking for PAs. So she gave my resume. I went in and interviewed and ended up getting the job. And I was only supposed to be in the office for a few weeks. But then they ended up taking me with them to San Francisco. And so I just got really lucky and have been able to kind of stick with it since then. And back in season one, it was a very small staff, you know, new show. Reality TV was still fairly new in 2005, right. You know? The crew was like a third of the size that we are now, you know, so I had to wear more hats back then. And I think that helped me be able to move up because I was be able to do more.
The kitchen was also like a third of the size. It's a very small.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a real kitchen. It's not a set.
It was a real kitchen. Yeah.
That is so interesting. I mean, you have really been there since day one. And we're curious if you can talk to us. We're now at season 22. You have grown up professionally. The show has grown up. And so we'd really love to know about how you feel the show has evolved over the years and what role you've played in that.
I think it's interesting because I think like anything, we're evolving also with the time. So it's not even just the show, but it's like society has changed so much since then, you know, things that were acceptable back then are not acceptable now. And, you know, behaviors in the kitchen back then were much different and it was much more aggressive, I'd say. And so I think it's, you know, everything's kind of changed and shifted and social media became a thing and people were critiquing everybody and, you know, what they were doing. So I think there's, the thing is too, is also when we started, you know, we started with, we had people straight out of culinary school, caterers, chefs, everything. But the more we kept going, the more like really awesome chefs wanted to participate. And so it just kind of upped the level of the game. And then at a certain point you kind of can't go back because then you're like, well, you're just setting them up to fail, you know? So you want to kind of like, just make it a really great competition and kind of bring in the best that you can. And I think you see that this season, like the chefs this season have been absolutely amazing and so competitive and creative. And, you know, it's sad to see anybody go every week. Everybody's like, I'm so sad this person got eliminated. So, yeah.
This season really has been, not to like, you know, belabor the point, the season has just been so fun, great TV. There is this feeling of just like a return to, like you were saying, reality TV when you started was so early. Like, it didn't really know what it was. And Nancy and I grew up now with reality TV. And so to us, it's just this like really fun thing to deconstruct. But there, it's really been beautiful to see how Top Chef in the year 2025 can both be what's core to the show, what you love, but there are these moments, you know, right? Like we saw like Massimo and the Paola like drama. And we're like, oh yes, we like live for that. So
I think it's also finding a balance too, because I think, you know, we miss that too, but also like the hard part, and I think I feel and maybe I take it a little too personally sometimes, but I feel a responsibility about like not making people into villains, you know, but because people are so critical and like do bring that into their real lives, into their, you know, people have real businesses they're trying to keep afloat and keep successful and, you know, want everybody to succeed. But at the same time, you know, when you have somebody who's like Massimo, who's so fantastic and like so self-deprecating that he's game to play and just be, you know, to have fun with it. And even every other people, you know, there were, I think there's like a fun competitive nature to someone like Buddha, you know, where he's like, he's so competitive, you know, and like that vibe. I think you just want people to all come together. I think that's what was so great about this season's cast. Like everybody had that competitive vibe, but also fun, which you saw in the second episode with the brunch challenge where they had to like buy each other ingredients. That's when I knew that these guys are going to be fun because, you know, like, you could just be nice and get them something that they can work in. Like, let's not fuck anybody over. But at the same time, you know, it was fun to see them having fun with it and then not taking it too seriously where it's like going to totally derail their whole mindset and their, you know.
Yes. Well, and you're almost answering my next question, but to take that a little bit further, we talk a lot about how Top Chef is this bellwether for culinary trends. And I think that's also what makes it so fun to watch, you know, seasons from 10, 5, 15 years ago. But how much do you think of that, I don't know, the art slash science of that coming from production or just coming from the chefs themselves?
Sorry, say that again?
Like when you're talking about how you're creating the environment for Top Chef to really just demonstrate what is the now for the culinary trend of the moment, how much of that is coming from production? How much of that comes from the chefs? It's kind of a weird question. So if it's like, I don't know what you're talking about,
that's fine. I think it's a combination because we are always trying to. So, you know, there's two things. I think, you know, it's Destination Canada, but it's also a cooking show too. So like we do try and really dig into a lot of the Canadian things, but also we want to dig into what is in like the culinary zeitgeist too. And so I think it's kind of finding a balance so that it's not all one thing or the other. Yeah. And so we're constantly looking for what is the new food trend, what's going on in restaurants, who's popular, who, you know, what can we find inspiration from to create a challenge? And then also then the chef's own creativity is, and what they bring is something that we can conjecture and like, you know, we can, what's the word I'm looking for? We can kind of guess what they're going to do for a challenge or like, oh, they could do this or they could do that. Like a lot of times we'll come up with our own ideas. Oh man, I would totally do this. And then and sometimes when the challenge fails, we're like, oh, why didn't somebody do that? Like, I don't understand. That was so easy. Right. But the, you know, it's the time constrictions, the, you know, lack of budget or whatever it might be that maybe throws them off. You know, so I think it all kind of depends on who gets the challenge and takes it and where they run with it, because oftentimes the chefs will come up with something that we couldn't have even dreamt of. And then it's like, oh my God, that's even better than what we thought it was going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, along those lines, I'm sure you have favorites of challenges or seasons or moments or experiences, and you've been on the front lines for literally every single one of them. But are there any that particularly stand out over the years as really memorable or meaningful to you as a producer or as a fan?
I think the season 12 finale was kind of special for me. Well, first of all, that was my first time actually being the showrunner. So that was my first time kind of like leading things. And we were in San Miguel de Allende, which is like a completely magical, beautiful place that I love and I would die to go back. I love it. And, you know, I think we had obviously really talented chefs. I mean, Gregory, May, Melissa, Doug, like really talented chefs in that finale. And like that art challenge we did, I thought was really fun and cool. You know, there's a lot of challenges that I think turn out really great. But again, it also depends on who's actually competing in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed, on a personal level, I really enjoyed the New Orleans season. because New Orleans is like, it's not that huge of a town, and you could walk to Bourbon Street and like people definitely went out a little more that season. you know, it was just fun.
Yeah. Bits and I met living in New Orleans together. So that season has a special place in our heart.
Yeah. I'm actually going, Nina Compton was on that season, right? She's not just. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to her restaurant next weekend, so I'm very excited. Going down for Jazz Fest. So maybe this is like an easy question, but were there moments, as you were saying, you sort of like architect these challenges, you hope the chefs sort of pick it up or exceed expectations. Were there moments where things just went totally sideways and it either ended up working out and just making great TV?
I'm sure there are, because that definitely does happen. I'm like blanking right now, but there are definitely moments where things do not go as planned. I'm trying to think of what's a good example. Because that definitely happens a lot. Yeah. this isn't necessarily like a but the thing turned out better, but it is like, okay, we adapted and figured it out. Actually, it did kind of turn out better now that I'm thinking about it. in the World All-Star season, the queen died while we were filming.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And actually that Indian food challenge that we were doing was supposed to be at an Indian restaurant that was literally like two blocks from Buckingham Palace. And we couldn't get there. It was barricaded. So we had to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? So then we ended up filming it in the kitchen and then serving in the stew room. But then the next challenge was supposed to be actually at Hatfield House, which was our location for episode 12. So we had to move that back and then find a new location for the beef Wellington, the Wellington challenge.
And that
Wellington challenge was something that we had come up with and then we weren't going to do. And then we ended up needing it back. So it ended up, pulling it all together, right?
Oh my gosh.
And it turned out amazing.
Well, okay. So that gets to something that I think the audience is always so curious about. How do you concoct a challenge? What is the process for making a challenge? Who gets consulted? And how do you execute it, essentially?
Yeah. Well, we have a whole challenge team. So, we're the first ones that start in pre-production. So it's usually we'll do research on where we're going, scout where we're going, meet a bunch of chefs, talk to a bunch of people, mm-hmm. kind of find out what's important or different about the area that we're going to, and then start just brainstorming. And people just write up challenges, and then we'll have big meetings and go over them all, brainstorm together. Most challenges are not anybody's actual, like, from start to finish idea. It's like had input from all of us. I'm like, oh, but what if we do it this way, or can we add that, and like what other layer, you know. And then we kind of get it to where we like it, and you know, we pitch all the challenges to my bosses, to the network, and then we kind of decide what, you know, we're looking at all the things, like how, like, what style of service are we doing? Are we inside or outside? How many times, you know, like, just trying to change it up, and make sure that it doesn't all feel the same, throughout the season. So there's a lot of it, a lot that goes into it. And then also, it's finding the location too. Like, we might have an idea, but like, what's the best location for it? Can we, do it? Or it might be totally location dependent, and then that location doesn't work out, and we have to figure out something else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really interesting. Nancy and I talk a lot about how both we love the large format challenge. So anytime we hit an episode and it's like, oh my God, cook for 150, mm-hmm. we're locked in. The other one that we just need to shout out because we have you on the pod was this season 10? I can't remember if it was season 10. Or maybe this was season 6 when y'all wrapped everything in Reynolds wrap.
It was Seattle.
Oh my God. Seattle. We just had like such a blast talking about that one. That one was fun.
Well, that's the other thing too. So, I mean, you know, obviously we're not shy about the fact that we have a lot of sponsors on our show. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's brands that come in, they want to be involved, and then that's our job. They'll tell us what their messaging is, and we have to figure out how to make a fun challenge out of it. So, you know, that was a really fun one.
Yeah. We just imagined like some poor PA until 5 in the morning wrapping everything in the kitchen in tinfoil.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a lot of work.
Oh my God. But honestly, I would take that. I would take that job. And the Chipotle challenge this week was also so much fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. Well, totally. So we would be remiss if we did not ask you about your new project that is airing at the end of this month on NBC, Yes Chef. So what can you tell us about that show, especially for Top Chef fans who are looking for some more culinary content in their lives?
I mean, it's definitely different, you know. It's Jose Andres and Martha Stewart are the judges and hosts, really. They're kind of the ones guiding our chefs through the entire season. But it's actually, it's chefs who are coming to the kitchen with issues that they're trying to work on. So they've all been nominated actually by coworkers or loved ones for that person like is a little hot-headed, or that person needs to like, you know, they have like, you know, like it's either, or maybe they're like a perfectionist and they can't let something go. And like, you know, there's all kinds of things. So it's actually it's actually really interesting. So it's people in their real lives who see this thing or trait about them that they could work on. So they're coming into the kitchen with that already, and then but then also competing in these challenges throughout each episode. And a lot of it in the beginning really has a lot to do with teamwork, which is something that a lot of them struggle with, because it's like, I'd rather just do it myself. I can do it. You know what I mean? So it just creates a lot of fun and chaos and, you know,
okay, I'm drama. Very intrigued. This is very fun. It's almost like a little like nod to, not totally What Not to Wear, but there is something about the like, hey, I think my friend could use some help with XYZ. But,
and there should be, this is gonna be fun. And the chefs are all fully aware of that coming in. It's not trying to like pull one over on anybody they know. So
yeah, they get like read out on it for the first time. Yeah. Oh, well, Daneen, thank you so much for your time today. It was so nice to meet you and just hear your BTS take on obviously our favorite show in the whole universe. And we're so looking forward to the rest of the season, to Yes Chef, and just thanks again.
You're welcome. Anytime.
All right. We'll check you later.